before you have a break, so I'm going to start. He's doing advertisement. Okay, well, first I'm going to ask you to excuse my accent. Maybe it doesn't sound like it, but I was actually born in Australia. But I was raised in France for 20 years, so I think it has definitely a mark in the way I speak. I'm going to talk, well, I'm working in a company called SB Corp, here back in Sydney. And we're doing, we have a website called Special Voice, and we're doing basically immersive voice communication for games. And I really think that's, I'm really glad actually to start working into games now, really, because before that I was doing a PhD, which I still have to finish. It's just like, they finished. We always say that PhD students, so they finished. And so I've been starting doing game things, and I was taking contact with some people that I was in contact with when I was in France, and there's this thing happened. And we created that Virtual Citizen Research Association, which it used to be called Reason.org, because the aim was to actually free massively online multiplayer games called Reason, but we lost it. But I'm going to actually explain the whole story here. But now we are the Virtual Citizenship Association, and the aim is to open source an MMORPG just to free the citizen of virtual worlds in general. You'll see I thought it's quite interesting. So the overview is, first I'm going to explain what Reason is, what type of game is, how actually Reason.org came to live. I'm going to explain our social contract, which is based on the Debian social contract. I'm going to explain some of the issues which we encountered when actually thought about freeing a game like this one. We did an offer to the tribunal, because basically it was to buy back the game from a company who went busted, DevRex. And I'm going to explain the type of offer we had, which is kind of a bit complicated. Unfortunately, we didn't get the game, so what are we going to do next? So, what's Reason? Reason was developed by Nevax since 2000 and was released in 2004, so it's quite recent. It's not very, very big worldwide. I think like most of the players are in Europe. It's very centered on role play, and so it's science fiction, but fantasy role playing game. Role play, as in, you know, people really liking playing their characters inside and creating real stories. And it's very different from what most people play games, like for example in the US when you play World of Warcraft or something like this, where it's just like hitting monsters and trying to level up. So the world we're actually following a very long storyline, which is like, which new chapters coming on a regular basis called the Saga of Reason. And they even came like with an editor to enable players to create their own scenarios so they could create their own adventures within the game. Initially, Olivier Lejade, who was the founder of Nevrax, the company who made the game, planned Reason to be an open source game. However, when he actually was forced by the shareholders to actually not follow that path, he actually left the company. So, Xavier Antoviak created Reason.org with the support of a few former Nevrax employees. Members of the NERL community, and I'll explain later what the NERL is. It's actually the Nevrax library, which has been GPL. Like some Reason player and another supporter of free and open source software, like me, I suppose. And the aim was to actually buy Reason back and from Nevrax, which was like being like which is called bankrupt, and transforming it into the first full feature open source MMORPG. I don't think that there's a few attempts right now to actually create open source MMORPG, but Reason is actually a complete game which is like fully featured and really beautiful. It would have been great if we could have had successfully had it, but it's kind of unfortunate. The example we tried to follow was Blender. In 2002, the Blender community raised more than a thousand euros to save the 3D engine, and we just wanted to do the same thing with the game. We codified our commitment into what we call a social contract. So as I stated earlier, it's based on the Debian social contract. And we started to collect donation pledges. So the operation attracted quite a bit of media coverage. We had articles in the BBC, Le Monde.fr, which is like a French newspaper, Dig and Slashdot. The site was Slashdotted at one stage, so nobody could access it, obviously. At the end, we got all together these pledges, €170,000 in 25 days, including $60,000 from the Free Software Foundation, which actually supported our movement. And we thought that was quite impressive. So what was the social contract? The social contract was basically we had to do a promise to people who were going to do donation or actually the pledge for donation because nobody actually get directly money. And that were the rules. We would defend the right of virtual citizens because the idea is that people who actually have an avatar in the virtual world are actually citizens of that virtual world. But the thing is that all those virtual worlds, they're usually owned by private companies, and the players, which are the virtual citizens, have absolutely no right to say on which direction the game is going to go or the virtual world is going to go. And things like democracy are just like dreams. It never happens. You just follow what's there, or you can just quit and stop playing. We promise to use free software to promote the free software in online universe in general. We consider the avatar should be the property of their respective online players and virtual citizens. This is an important point. It means that if you create an avatar on a game server, it is your avatar, and you should have the right to download it to your computer, to save it, and maybe to export it to another game server which is compatible with this one if you want. Or if you even want this avatar to be destroyed, it should be your right for your avatar to be destroyed. It's not no one else's property than yours as a citizen of a virtual environment. We will not hide problems. Doesn't mean that we're going to solve them. But the idea is just not to get into bad politics, like I think we often see when private company run role-playing games. And obviously having a decision process which is based on participative democracy. So the problem is that a massively online multiplayer role-playing game is not as simple as just even a complex piece of software. Because we have code and documentation which goes with the code that we have to manage, and all these kind of things can be done with like GPL or LGPL or licenses like this. And you can have lots of coders which goes around and going to help each other, but you know what it is. But it nearly all the time requires a heavy and obviously expensive and infrastructure which includes network, a lot of machines. Usually you have to rent the machine, so even if you buy them, you still have to actually buy the bandwidth because of it, which actually costs a fortune. You also have a base of paying customers, because if you actually have to pay for those machines, someone has to pay for them, therefore you have a base of customers, and which creates a social community. And a social community is something that you have to manage, and it's nothing like anything else. It's things like this you actually never, well, barely have into other free software projects. And on top of that, you also have a collection of graphic and digital art design that you have to cover with different type of licenses, and you also have to work with other people than just developers, which means musicians and other type of artists and people you don't see in Xcamp. The main problem, like we had this, so there was this company in Evrax which was going bankrupt, and there was a tribunal which was in charge of selling all their assets. So we had to make an offer to actually buy the game back, but the offer had to be, believable. So we created, we planned to create, because that never happened, that was just a plan, if we actually offer was accepted, we have created a company called Reasonel, which was to be owned by our own association, which actually collected all the pledge. Megan Sleep, which is a company, a new company, whose CEO is Pauli Delojade, which was the former CEO and the founder of Netflix, if you remember like the previous slide. And Valentin Lacombe, which is who is he's like in France, he's like one of the figures of the free and open software in France, anyway, in the French community. So that all together, that company here would actually put a bit of money on top of all the pledges we got. Valentine was also going to put some money in it. All together, they actually made an offer to the tribunal, and we would have obviously maintained the recent servers with the current customer base, and respect the social contract that we provided. Unfortunately, the tribunal sold the game to Gameforge and not to us. They actually had a higher offer than us, and they also offered to take more employees than we did. So I guess it's economically it's more reasonable, but still it's a shame for our community. However, not everything is lost. Nevrax left behind, so the Nevrax library, which is called NEL or NEL, which is a GPL toolkit for the development of massively online universe. To be honest, I'm not very, I don't know much about it, I haven't coded with it, but it's composed of those different things. There's NEL3D, which is like 3D audio and video rendering modules, a network library, and other miscellaneous things that we can use. All those tools actually are available at nevrax.org. The question is now, is Gameforge going to update those tools like Nevrax did? We just don't know, because this is so recent. The game was bought by Gameforge, I think, on the 20-something of December, so it's not even, it's 20 days old. I'll take that for sure. So what are we going to do now? Well, the amount of interest in Wisdom.org show that there's quite a few people interested in having a free massively online multiplayer game. So now this website, virtualcitizenship.org, now succeeded to Wisdom.org, and that's where we focus on all our attention. And even if we cannot get Wisdom anymore, we're just still thinking about what we can do next. So we can actually think about preparing for a new campaign if there is another game which goes, or another company which goes and bankrupt, and we could actually buy the game. We're thinking about development of a new of a game ourselves, like either using the NEL, because some of the people who are already in the group are part of the NEL community, so they know how to program it. That's fine today. And or we can actually join source with other projects like PlaneShift, Project Angela, and there are Tempest. So I don't know much about those projects. They're more or less advanced, using usually as many free tools as they can, but some of the parts sometimes can be proprietary. But like very recently, I don't know if you heard that Second Life is just GPL their client for the moment. So we're thinking about maybe working on that, if they are also thinking about doing the same thing for the server side, which might be the case as well. So I've seen a couple of emails going around talking about that, and that could be actually a good way of continuing our.
Some proprietary stuff in the server, they have to separate out probably quite a bit server.
Yeah, well, that's what I actually saw in the email as well. They said that there was a problem of proprietary stuff, also trust between different parts of the servers and simulators. That's what they were saying.
And there is their eventual goal is essentially launched as the Web3 essentially, which means that you have to be able to set up your own virtual at one anyway, otherwise it's just not going to work, and they know that.
So that are the directions we actually are thinking of doing things. I think actually tomorrow there's going to be a meeting in Paris with more like all the people who can actually go to Paris to the meeting to actually discuss a little bit. Obviously, I won't be there. And just to see and make close off like the Wisdom part and just start the new part of our Virtual Citizenship Association. So Wisdom is out of reach now, but now we have a community. So I invite you to actually visit our site, which is virtualcitizenship.org. Post in the forums and edit our wiki if you want. And well, thank you for your time and attention. And if you have any questions, please ask. I'll try to answer as well as I can. Yeah?
It was an interesting game and good effort. Good on you for having having a go at open sourcing. I think it's a really brilliant thing to do.
Oh, thank you, but well, I'll take the thank you for the whole community because
sure.
I didn't do much.
For sure, but it's good.
Yes.
You mentioned that you might be looking for another game, like say a company collapses before they release the game or
that's right,
release or whatever. You want another game, you can see a lot of games that actually get to market,
yes.
So there might be another way you can actually acquire some technology. But did you use a distribution or
yeah.
You know, whatever,
but
a lot of stuff.
The hardest part of that. You're right, the hardest part of that is to know about it.
That's true.
Because often the game which never make it to the end, we actually barely know about them. But if you actually have like game names and places to actually go and things like this, please go on to our forums and post. That would be nice. I'm happy to actually discuss all the different possibilities.
I think it's a lot about who you know, like if you have contacts in the industry, then that will help.
I'm sorry, but we've got no time for more questions. I'd like to thank things really difficult. We're actually moving back next door because the better the education mini comp wants this room back. So I'm sorry everybody, but you'll have to get up and move.